This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
At which point did you look at your phone and feel the need to call Puka Nacua a goofy ass?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Don't say nothing about my teammates.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Of course, I had to respond to an old teammate of mine.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst. Basketball Hall of Famer Dwight Howard. And now, Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just said farewell to Kurt Warner. Dwight Howard's going to be on in hour number three. It's All-Star Weekend here in Los Angeles, California, at the home of the Los Angeles Clippers, where the Clippers asked James Harden to remove himself from his place of business. We'll talk about that this hour. Perfect guy to have turn the page. As you know, the NFL season just came to a conclusion. It's now time to focus completely on basketball, best we can. And who best to help turn the page than one of our favorites here in the flesh? The man actually has legs because I've only met him in a Zoom square. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst is here.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, I got to tell you, we've had a lot of NBA figures here, knock on wood, over the 10-plus years, now in our 11th year. These guys are as excited for you as Boban being here, okay? And you know that's the highest praise anybody could give.
I love Boban. He is an absolutely wonderful guy.
So, and yes, thank you for taking the time to come here in Los Angeles here in person. How you doing?
I'm good. I mean, you know, I don't think that LA is presenting itself in as best as it could right now.
Okay.
It's the weather is not that great.
That's right. We're hanging in there though.
But yes, it's gonna be a weekend. I don't know if it'll be a good weekend, but it'll be a weekend.
All right. So let's talk about some of the news headlines happening right now.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the, I guess, first half of the season, if you will, even though, you know, the number of games that moment has passed a while ago.
Yeah, the NFL keeps pushing the NBA back. It's going to be in March pretty soon.
March Madness will be in professional basketball as well. So the suspensions for the brawl between the Pistons and the Hornets, you think these are fair? What happened here?
Yeah, I know. It would be a hotter take if I came in and was like, they got it wrong.
I don't want the hot takes. I want the Windhorst takes.
You know, it was interesting the way it worked out. The guys got, as you entered the fray, the more and more suspension you got.
Yes.
You know, Jalen Duren started it. He got the least suspension.
Right.
Then Diabate, who he's going to lose some money and he's going to miss some games here. People are going to know who he is now a little bit because he's been having an unbelievable season. His nickname is the Moose. I'm going to take this opportunity to educate people about him. His nickname is the Moose. He didn't really embrace it at first, but now he will give when he gets like all, he's one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. And when he gets a putback, he will go with the Moose, with the Moose. And so, it's, you know, four games. The reality is that all the teams behind him are tanking. So it's not even going to hurt him that bad. You know, he gets a little bit longer All-Star break and then Miles Bridges, you know, shouldn't go running across the court throwing punches. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to get you in trouble.
So if you get more games for the later you join the fray, does that mean Duncan Robinson gets games added to his to his resume? I mean, rewarded maybe financially? Like you get money for just saying these knuckleheads and just walking away.
Actually, LaMelo Ball was on the bench.
Yes.
And he came off the bench. And normally that's an automatic suspension.
Any Knick fan will remind you of that. Yeah.
Yes. Although I will say I was on First Take today and Mad Dog was, this is what he referred to. He was like, Patrick Ewing in 1990, whatever.
Saying, right, yeah. Yeah, man, like,
he took one step on
one toe, like a toenail.
But that's not true. If you want to say that he shouldn't have been suspended for walking on the court, that's a reasonable thing. But he did not take one step.
Okay.
He came like 30 feet on the
Phoenix. It was the Suns that have the bigger beef, right? Stoudemire. That's what happened.
Yeah, Stoudemire. We remember Stoudemire, he pretended he was checking in. He's like, no, I was just running to check in.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So yeah, I actually, it's you know, Detroit, I think it's going to cost these guys a lot of money. But I think the Pistons kind of like, I think JB kind of likes it. You know how Joe Mazzulla, like, I can't remember who was bleeding last year. It was like Tatum or mm-hmm. somebody was bleeding. Mm-hmm. And they showed Joe Mazzulla and he was like licking his lips because mm-hmm. like Joe Mazzulla like likes it when people bleed.
Yeah.
Like JB Bickerstaff, the Pistons coach, like I think he loved it.
Yeah.
I think he loved Isaiah Stewart. I think, you know, he's been ejected 8 times mm-hmm. now, so maybe we need to cool a little bit. I think he loved Isaiah Stewart running out there and having his teammates back.
Right.
And if, you know, he could have gotten away with maybe 4 games, it would have been better. But I think he secretly thinks it's going to be a good thing for them.
Well, I mean, you know, in all honesty, too, the fact that you're like, it doesn't matter because all the teams behind him are tanking anyway.
Yeah.
Knicks did lose to the Pacers, right? Zubac is just sitting there. And Walt Frazier just flat out said it during the MSG broadcast.
I know.
Like, why isn't Zubac playing? He's, they're tanking.
Yeah. It was kind of viewed as like, a bright line that he crossed. I'm like, it's not controversial.
Well, first of all, it's Walt Frazier. He can do whatever he wants to
true.
Do. And he crosses bright lines every day by putting his clothes on.
You know what's what I mean? His tanking and planking? Like, what would his be? What would his be?
Tanking and clanking, swishing and dishing. My favorite one of all time was when Xavier McDaniel scored, okay? And he goes, excavating. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's digging. Like, he's not digging anything. But
right.
Anyway, I don't mean.
Yeah.
The general sense, though, is it's just, like, what can be done about this? Is anything being done about
so
this?
So I live in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not from there. I'm from Cleveland, as you may know. But mm-hmm. Warren Buffett is, he's a god mm-hmm. in Omaha. And his company, they have this saying, Charlie Munger, his right-hand man.
Right.
Came up with it that says, show me the incentive and I'll show you the result. It's a life of things you can learn through life. And so the incentive for the teams is to get the highest pick possible. So I'll just take you back to last year. Last year, the first 3 picks were drawn and, you know, the Cooper Flagg is, you know, he's going to go. And the fourth pick, it's 3 teams. The teams had the 3 worst records, Washington, Utah, Charlotte. They had the highest 3 odds. None of them got the top 3 picks.
Right.
Top 3 picks. So we're down to the 4th draw. I've watched the act. I'm not talking about when they open the envelope. I'm talking about in the room.
Right.
Okay. The owner of the Hornets, the general manager of the Jazz, the general manager of the Wizards, and they're studying their little sheet and the 3 balls come up. And I think the first 3 balls, all 3 of them were in. We're still in it. And it came down to the 4th ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, this is a 4th ball for the 4th pick.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about getting LeBron James here. But the 4th ball came up and it was Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Charlotte gets Con Knipple. Con Knipple is having, I think, the greatest shooting season for a rookie in NBA history. They just had their longest winning streak in 9 years.
Yep.
20 years. And they may make the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. I've got a friend who's a season ticket holder in Charlotte who went to the game the other night, the Brawl game.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is the best atmosphere of a game I've been to in 10 years. And I know that it isn't just about Con Knipple, that they also drafted Brandon Miller and they've been developing some other guys. It's not just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
The Jazz took Ace Bailey. And maybe in 3 years, Ace Bailey will be an all-star. But Ace Bailey didn't even get invited to the Rising Stars game. And so you say to the Jazz, you know, why are you tanking? Why are you hurting the integrity of the game? Well, last year, the difference between being 4 and 5 might be the difference between this year having your best year in 10 years and going into a tank. And it's not, if they can't work harder, they can't scout harder, they can't do more push-ups, they can't like, you know, we're going to come and work as a group in August instead of September.
Yeah.
The difference is that is one player. And so, and their pick is top 8 protected from a deal they made like years ago. So their only pathway in Utah, in Salt Lake City, Utah, is to get that highest pick. And so that is the incentive. And I am showing you the result.
Yeah, but it's so we're not even a President's Day weekend.
I agree. It's getting
it doesn't
worse.
Seem it gets earlier and earlier
yes.
and earlier that the plug gets pulled. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. And where it's spilled over is it now? For years, people would say, "Oh, they're tanking," but the players who are on the court aren't tanking.
Right.
The tanking was done on the injury list. You
right.
Know?
Or saying to Zubac, "You're wearing street clothes."
That's
tonight.
The injury list, like, or whatever they say that he has an injury. Okay.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But what's happening with Utah now, the stakes are so high,
mm-hmm.
for Utah, and there's so much tanking going on elsewhere. There's so much competition for tanking
right.
that they are now actively taking their players off the court. So, like, you know, Lauri Markkanen.
Sat for the fourth quarter. Yeah,
he had 20, the other day, he had 27 points in 27 minutes. They sat him on the bench, and then their coach, Will Hardy, stuck his hands in his pocket, literally stuck his hands in his pockets and watched as his team gave up a 17-point lead, didn't even call a timeout. That's the he knows the assignment. And by the way, before the season started, he was given a very lucrative contract extension. And, you know, when he signed it, he understood, this is what I'm being paid to do. I'm being paid to do what the organization wants me to do.
It's the Don Draper line. That's what the money is for. It's the Mad Men line.
And but, Will is frustrated, but he's doing what he's been assigned to do.
Right.
And so, but I, something interesting happened. Two things I want to say. One,
yes.
So today is a big tank bowl. Now, we have games on ESPN tonight, which we have Philly
and the Knicks.
And Knicks.
7:30 Eastern. I've got this for you. Spurs and Warriors at 10.
You watch Countdown at 7 Eastern.
That's very good.
And then late game, we've got Victor. You see Victor had 37 points in the first half last night.
Yep.
Victor is the late game in Golden State. However, there's a more, not a more interesting, but an interesting tank game tonight, which is Sacramento versus Utah.
Okay.
Two teams that are extremely tanking right now. So yesterday afternoon.
Extremely tanking.
The injury list came out, or their injury report came out, and Lauri Markkanen, who I will point out a month ago, missed 7 games due to the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's feeling better. I mean, I wasn't there. Maybe he was sick for 7 games.
Understood.
He was listed as being out due to rest.
Oh.
For this game.
He needs a little bit more, huh?
Right. So,
come on now.
I mean, I don't know how much you want me to go into this because we're talking about the Jazz, but the other day, they held their best guard, Keontae George, out of the game and said it was for rest. And then they played another guard, Isaiah Collier, 48 minutes.
Well, the reason why we're talking about it is not just the Jazz, obviously, and we'll talk about some other stuff, is, listen, this is a smart league run by smart people who understand what it is that they're putting on the court and what it is that is happening. Is there anybody in the Board of Governors, anybody that's like, we must do something?
Maybe, because as I said, the injury report came out and it said Markkanen out due to rest.
And
then 1 hour later.
He's rested?
He was taken off the injury report. He's ready to go.
Hey! Did he nap? Can we find out if he took a nap?
We can follow up today. And so that's number one, is what was going on with that. Number two, and I don't have an answer, by the way. I don't know what's going on. Second thing is, it's All-Star weekend. So Adam Silver, you know, Goodell last week had his State of the NFL.
Yes, sir.
So now we have an Adam Silver State of the NBA.
Yes, sir.
And he will be asked. And so we will hear what he has to say.
When is that, today or tomorrow?
No, I think it's
Friday
or Saturday.
Okay.
He will be asked. And so we'll see. Maybe he's going to, you know, put his foot down.
We'll see. Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Harden winding up in Cleveland. Why did that happen? The Clippers turned things around. Who ordered the code red and why did it happen?
Can I just say before we get into this, like how fascinating it is that for years, the Clippers have had him for sixth or seventh year and numerous seasons, they were prepared to win and might have even have won. Mm-hmm. You know, the 1 year he tore his ACL in the playoffs, he had two or three of the best playoff games of the decade. Mm-hmm. They came back and won in Dallas. And if they had been healthy, they definitely might have gone to the finals. They might have won the whole thing.
You're talking about Kawhi, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had multiple seasons he got derailed with injuries. Include 1 year they made the Western Conference Finals, and he tore his ACL, and he couldn't play. They listed him as questionable with the torn ACL, but that's a different story for a different day. This year, he's ever played better for the Clippers. This is his best season.
They were on fire, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at my phone, and it pops up that James Harden is going to get traded. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from, and why?
So last summer, the Clippers entered into a contract with James Harden that was basically a one-year guarantee for $39 million plus a mutual option for next year.
Yes.
And as the team was playing very well, James was looking ahead. By the way, as soon as they entered into that contract, they were giving themselves some optionality in case James had a bad year to get out, but they painted themselves in a bit of a corner there because they know that James Harden, if he's not happy contractually, will ask to be traded. He has done this 4 times. Okay? So as soon as they signed that contract, they knew that they put themselves in a bit of a box here. So the team's playing very well. James has this contract next year for $42 million. I think he'd like to make sure it's guaranteed, because if it's not guaranteed, he'd like to go somewhere where he could get taken care of. And whatever the conversation was, and there's people that are spinning it, but whatever the conversation was, James didn't hear what he wanted to hear. And he asked out. And no one gets traded more effectively than James Harden when he wants to get traded. And it did work out for him that there was a team that could make a deal and do it. Like, it, you know, he's going to an instantaneous contender.
Yes.
Who probably will pay him at least next year, maybe even give him 2 years. So, but I think the key is they pulled the plug. And I'm a huge, huge, huge believer. It sounds basic, but I'm a huge believer of actions over words. If you use that in your head, so much of the NBA will explain itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the actions that the Clippers had said to me that mm-hmm. they didn't believe in this team this year. If they had believed in this team, they would not have traded him. They would have guaranteed his contract or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They would not have traded Zubac. So their actions, regardless of what they say, their actions to me say they didn't believe in this team and that they weren't going anywhere. And it's just so ironic and kind of melancholy that this is the best Kawhi has ever played for them.
Right.
He's amazing. He had 40 the other night. His last game he had 40, or 2 games ago he had 41. And this is the time when they pull the plug.
But Garland, you got somebody a decade younger, right?
Right.
And with some injury history.
Right.
Isn't it possible that the Clippers might have improved at the end of the day? That they're, I know trading Zubac is another indication of
exactly
of pulling a plug
exactly.
here. But
yeah, I mean, right now they've got a 38-year-old starting center in Brook Lopez and a 21-year-old backup.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't a team that's trying to win or trying to win at the highest level.
Right.
So, no, I think medium term they may say they would have improved.
Right.
But you don't know whether Harden's going to or whether Kawhi is going to be good. I mean, you know, in 3 months, much less 9. So, I think their actions to me speak to they didn't believe in this team.
Okay, and the Cavs now are a contender for the conference.
Well, I will say this. Here. So, tanking is a very popular topic right now in the league, and it should be because it needs to be highlighted because it needs to be addressed.
Yes,
but most of the time we get to the All-Star break, and I would say there are really only 3 or 4 teams that can win the whole thing. And sometimes I'm even throwing the fourth team a bone. Right now, I think there are 5 teams that can win the East. I can make a case for all 5, and I have no idea who's actually going to.
Right.
And I think Oklahoma City will win the West, but it's not, I don't feel super strongly about it. I can make a case for 3 teams in the West. So I can make a case for 8 teams, and we may even have an outlier who might be able to, you know, stretch to like 8.5, 9. And so while this has been a season that has been dominated by injuries, unfortunately, and while we have tanking as a real topic that is coming up now, which is unfortunate, I actually think we have a very, very highly competitive season ahead of us here to finish, a very highly competitive playoffs. And I am extraordinarily excited about the young players in the league. Cooper Flagg is, to me, the
Dynamite.
Most... I think, really, to me, I haven't seen a rookie like this since LeBron. Victor is a outlier because I've never seen anybody like that ever
On planet Earth.
Right. So Wembanyama and Cooper Flagg as sort of the next generation. You know, I love watching Ann Edwards every game, and then you know, you still have the old guys, LeBron, Durant, and Curry still around. I actually think the league, from a star standpoint, is in a, I don't think from a competitive standpoint it's in a good place because there's teams tanking, but mm-hmm. I think we're okay with the star players. It's just, you know, there is a bit of a transition period that's going to take place here.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. A name you didn't mention is Giannis, but that will change when we come back.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about LeBron, his future, and maybe a dark horse for coming out of the mist.
Look at you.
Yeah, look at us.
Very literary.
You know what I mean? I paint word pictures, but actually I weave tapestries here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Brian Windhorst is here. Dwight Howard's making his way to our studio. We're back with another segment with Brian Windhorst here on ESPN, Disney Plus, and the ESPN app and ESPN Radio.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst is still here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, tonight on ESPN, it's the final full slate of games tonight. There's three on Thursday night before the All-Star break hits. Knicks and Sixers tonight at 7:30, and then the Spurs and Warriors after that. With the are you on the show?
Yes, countdown tonight.
Okay, at 4 o'clock out here.
Yes.
And 7 Eastern time if you're on the East Coast. So what... walk me through Giannis's journey from summer to now. I mean,
yeah.
In terms of his demands, what he wants, what he has said.
That's the problem. He really hasn't demanded anything. Mm-hmm. Here's what I can tell you. Again, let's focus on actions over words.
Yes, sir.
The Bucks were negotiating a trade for Giannis last week. Now, whether or not they ever intended to actually follow through on those negotiations, I don't know. I can't speak with that kind of intelligence, but the Bucks were on the phone taking bids and having a back and forth.
Yes.
So the idea that this was all some sort of hoax, no, the Bucks were absolutely doing it. And, you know, they didn't like the offers that they got. And I think their offers, you know, the NBA trades are so complex. And I'm always, I don't know where to go, like to lose people, have them glaze over. But long story short, the Bucks can get more from teams in the summer than they can now. The teams in the summer will literally have more to trade. And the only team that wasn't really the case was Golden State. Golden State's offer now is going to be the same as it will be in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they offered what I thought was the biggest package. Maybe the Bucks didn't feel that way. Maybe other people would say that what the Heat offered was better. But they certainly offered the most unprotected draft picks, which was 4. And they can't offer more in the summer. The Heat, for example, can offer extra picks in the summer than they can now. And it wasn't good enough. And so the question will it be good enough in the summer? Will Giannis force it? Because, this is going to be an action over words bonanza here, because they can present him before next season a 4-year contract extension for 270 something million.
Mm.
And, you know, he's in his 30s and he's had some injury problems. And I would not blame him for one second if he said, I won a championship and I'm going to take that 270 and I'm going to be a Buck for life.
Mm-hmm.
He has not said that. He has said many different things, but he has never said he'll sign the extension. So I'm frankly not going to worry about what he says, what he posts on social media. If he signs the extension, he'll be a Buck. And if he doesn't sign the extension, they'll have to trade him, because otherwise he'll be a free agent after next season. It'll be very elementary. And what'll be interesting now is he's got this injury. He announced when he had the injury, I'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. The Bucks.
Dr. Antetokounmpo has been paged.
Well, unfortunately, he knows about these things. He's had this injury 4 times.
Okay.
And the Bucks said no timeline. So Doc Rivers has come out and said he is going to play when he's ready. But the only pathway forward for the Bucks to improve this team really is to get as high of a draft pick as possible.
Right.
And when Giannis plays, they're 500. And when he doesn't play, they're one of the worst teams in the league. And they're all the teams around them are tanking.
Mm.
So if Giannis comes back and plays, you know, 18 games and they go 9-9, which this is the way they've played during the season,
right?
Their pick will materially get worse. Now, they could get lucky, like if they miss the playoffs. Well, I think Dallas was like 10th or 11th last year or whatever they were, they hopped up. I mean, they could get lucky and end up with a top pick.
Right.
But their only way that they're really going to make this team materially better is by that draft pick being as high as possible. And bringing him back, it's gonna hurt the pick. So I'm anxious to see how that plays out. But I'm done with the words. I'm only going to pay attention to the actions. And so I will tell you that the actions, I know I'm beating the horse, but the actions of last week were that the Bucks were negotiating a trade, and we'll see what Giannis's actions and the Bucks' actions are with his availability and then the contract.
What you've said multiple times here, actions, not words. That's what you're paying attention to, and that's how the NBA is best explained. Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are the actions telling you about LeBron James and the Lakers?
So the Lakers had an opportunity to offer LeBron a contract extension last year, and they did not. And it's the first time in LeBron's 23-year career he's ever been on the final year of a contract. Obviously, he's left in free agency at times when he's opted out of a contract.
Right.
He's never, ever been on the last year of a contract. And I understand why the Lakers did that, because they are now building around Luka Doncic. And they probably could maybe do something better with the $52 million. By the way, when I say do something better with the $52 million, it doesn't mean pay LeBron zero. Like, maybe they could pay LeBron $30 million and use that $20 million elsewhere. But for them to be the best team that they can, they can't pay LeBron $50 million next year. They just can't, because they're paying Luka something near that, and they're going to pay Austin Reeves something near that. And you just can't have three perimeter-based players who are ball handlers who are not good defenders making that much of your salary cap.
So LeBron James saying, I will not take less than what I'm currently making, is that an action?
Well, if he does that, it's going to be hard, because I mean, I do think he's still, you know, he's still an all-star, but I don't know if he's still a $50 million max player.
But does he still want to be a Los Angeles Lakers?
Right. So there's three things LeBron has to decide. One, are his body and mind in a place where he wants to play next year?
Yes, sir.
Now, the challenge with that's going to be, and I don't know if he knows, but I don't know, you know, the Lakers are going to need to know, like, in June, because that's when the offseason starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's going to have an answer in June. I don't know where he's going to be with that. He may not know for sure until later. But he's going to have to decide that. That's going to be first. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, will he play? How much money is he willing to play for? Is he willing to play for $30 million? Is he willing to play for $15 million? I mean, Dirk Nowitzki twice took really big pay cuts to stay with the Mavericks. Now, it's debatable about whether those actually helped the Mavericks or whether they just saved a bunch of money because they didn't actually get functionally better. But that's neither here nor there. It's not unprecedented for a guy at the end of a 20-year career to take a big pay cut to stay with the team.
And not just in the NBA either. Look at Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers, 42 years old. Does he want to keep playing? Sure, he'll play for the Steelers. And he took way less than what his Hall of Fame resume would demand.
Correct.
Way
less. So if LeBron is determined to make the most money, it will probably not be with the Lakers. But pathway two is to stay with the Lakers for less money. That, well, how much less? A lot of variables we don't know yet. Three, would he go someplace else? If he becomes a free agent, would he go someplace else?
Mm-hmm.
And would he go someplace to make the most money? Or would he go someplace where he could take less money, but that he would feel comfortable or feel like he could win? It would probably, there's a good chance it would be his last year. He certainly has to go into it, the strong possibility it would be his last year. So he has to go to a place where he could be comfortable playing a year. And I think there's a couple of places where that might make sense. Cleveland is one of them.
Heat? You want to go down the
I'm not sure I put the Heat on the list.
Okay, where else? Where else?
You know, Golden State, depending on how things go, would be one of them, depending on where their team is.
Would Kerr have to be there?
Maybe. Okay. I don't, but that's a good question.
Sure. Okay.
And there's a place or two that I won't say right now, but I'm keeping my eye on.
Is that the finger thing? We're doing the finger thing?
Yeah, I just, you know, frankly, with All-Star Weekend and stuff, I don't need this in my life. But let's just say, I don't mean the fingers, but like...
No. I got it. I got
let's
you.
Let's put it this way.
I respect
I you, have, sir. I have a team or two that I think he could consider going to.
Okay.
And I have researched the concept.
Okay.
And I will continue to keep my eye on the concept.
Keep digging.
And let's just say that, you know, it's not without merit. It's just not something I'm going to say. And I don't mean to be a jerk that way.
No.
But I'm going to try to lay low this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be on every show trying to back up what I said.
Okay.
But I'm just saying to you, I think he would have appetizing options.
Okay.
In a one-off situation, if he was comfortable for playing for a salary that would fit in another team.
And what about the Lakers, you know, in the future? I mean, ESPN.com, the app, I'm sorry, I don't recall off the top of my head who wrote the article.
Yeah.
About the Buss family, where everything...
Baxter Holmes.
Right, yeah. Where everything was so laid bare, even the Kardashian family saying, wow, that's a lot of business of ours put out there. You know, actually, like that's how crazy... That thing was off the charts.
But the Laker thing is, so it's fascinating because it's a family and like great stories in the history of humankind are intertwined with family. But the Lakers decision, that the family decision making was actually very simple. Jeannie Buss is the most powerful of the Buss children.
Clearly.
And her older brothers at one point tried to squeeze her out.
They sure did.
And so she there's six kids. You need four votes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Her sister pretty much voted for her the whole time. She has two younger brothers and two older brothers. Her two older brothers tried to force her out. She partnered with the two younger brothers to get the four votes to squeeze them out. And then a decade later, when it came time to sell, the older family members had a disadvantage because when they die, they don't get, you know, they just had 11% of the team, which is worth $1 billion, whatever. Each time one of they die, they don't get to take that 11% and pass to their heirs. It goes back into the trust. So the last family member standing gets the whole 66%. So if you're the youngest kids, you know, you're in your 30s or 40s, you're like, like, we'll see you at your funeral.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, they basically don't talk to each other. Like that's like that, you know,
I got that. I picked that up from the article.
So Jeannie then flipped it. And the older siblings who are much older than the younger ones are like, yeah, we'd like to have our hundreds of millions now.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We'll vote with you. And so she just flipped in. She did that. It was just it's just a Game of Thrones. It's not.
By the way, that's what I was literally about to bring up, that famously Kobe told her to be Khaleesi. And get on your dragon and Dracarys, the whole situation, which, by the way, she did. And you tip the cap. I brought it up just because the LeBron stuff got put out there. And, you know, somebody from that family put it out there to create a problem for her.
Well,
that's the way I read it.
In all honesty, like, how could you not be impressed with her
acumen? Of course.
Yes.
No, that's.
And her friend, like, she obviously is very much closer to her friends and her coworkers with the Lakers than she is to her family.
Yeah.
So she took care of them. She took care of herself.
Yeah, yeah.
And she stayed in the job.
Yeah, I know.
Stayed in the job. She got hundreds of millions, got rid of everybody in her family, and stayed in the job.
For sure. This isn't about that. The LeBron stuff that was in
there. I know. I'm sorry.
No. But the LeBron, that's the stuff that clearly was, let's try and stick it to, you know, Khaleesi here.
Yeah. I mean, I think here's the thing. When you have LeBron, there's downsides. There's a tax,
right.
A LeBron tax that you pay, that he does things that, you know, wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
However, the other side of it has so much upside that it's a trade-off that everybody would make. Even today, even today, LeBron's value to the Lakers is immensely more than whatever drag he has on the team. And so that's why the Cavs would crawl over glass to get him back for a third time.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much scar tissue as there's been with that organization, he's still worth it.
He'd sell it out.
It's fascinating because it's great detail, but it's not out of line with the way humankind operates. So the interesting thing about the Lakers that I think was not portrayed in that story is that what separates the Lakers from the Memphis Grizzlies is their local TV deal. Certainly the New York Giants can operate on a little bit higher level from local revenues, but really the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers operate relatively on a level financial playing field. The money that's coming into them is relatively the same. That's not the case in the NBA. In the NBA, the Lakers make more in a week than the Grizzlies make in a year with their TV deal. And that TV deal is under threat because of local TV, which is another story for another day.
Right.
But if that TV deal gets reduced, and by the way, the Knicks last year took a 40% pay cut. And if the Lakers went down by 40%, that would be financially devastating to the Buss family. So they cashed out. She consolidated power. And she sold to owners who have proven to be championship owners.
Yeah.
So the fans are in great position. And in all honesty, I see Jeannie Buss as a candidate for executive of the year. She's not going to be candidate for sister of the year, but she's not doing sister of the year. She's doing executive.
Sitting on her iron throne down the street here in El Segundo. In the few Dracarys. Minutes we have left, no doubt, Dracarys, the whole thing. In the few minutes we have left here, is Jason Tatum coming back? Because if he does, the Celtics, who are sitting in second place in the conference, could be the dark horse team.
Chris, how do we judge the NBA?
Talk dirty to me, Wendy.
What do we do? How do we judge the NBA? What have we learned today?
Actions.
Not words.
Okay.
Not words.
Everyone's
so
thinking.
When Jason Tatum says, I am not going to come back, or I'm not, he didn't say that. He said, I'm not sure I'm coming back,
right,
or whatever Joe Mazzulla might say, or whatever his teammates might say, or whatever Brad Stevens might say. Let's put that aside. They're not going to put 1 ounce of pressure on him. Now let's focus on the actions. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The actions are he's been doing 5-on-5 with the coaches. And on Monday, they took the entire G League team. Put them on, I don't know if they want a bus or a train.
Mm-hmm. Great.
A Maine to Boston.
Brought them from Portland down to Boston, visited the Arbach Center so that they could practice with Jason Tatum. That's an action. You know, that's him taking a step forward Mm-mm. in the process.
Mm-mm.
I have no idea where he will be at the end of the season. I have no idea where he will be. He probably doesn't know where he'll be in May. But I will say the actions are him returning towards playing. And the perspective that also is needed is you don't need him to play well in March or April. You need him to be a factor in May. And I think that's on the table. Certainly not a guarantee, but it's on the table.
Would he come off the bench, you think?
Who cares?
Doesn't matter, right? Like at the end of the day, if he's in the fourth quarter and it's Jason Tatum and it's go time.
The Eastern Conference is a wide open, unpredictable, you know, who knows what'll happen. And that X factor is the biggest X factor in the East, if not the league.
They're 5.5 out. They're 34-19. They got Vucevic. They got him. I mean, yeah. Okay. And then last one for you, since we just went New England, let's go Seattle for the Super Bowl champs. Are they going to get the Sonics back? What do you think?
So what I suspect is later this year, the NBA will announce that they are going to form a committee to study expansion, which is going to be an action.
Okay.
An action.
Yes.
Which is code for we're going to expand. That, you know, but they're not going to say it, but they're going to expand. But there's some arena situations that have to be settled first. So right now there's an arena situation in Portland that is bubbling. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other arena situations I won't get into. But typically you want to leave, even though I don't think the NBA will relocate, mm-hmm. you want to make sure all of your arena situations are settled before you then expand.
Sure.
But then I do think that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it'll be a process. You won't see the Sonics back in 2027. It could be a few years, but I think that's where we are headed.
Okay. And in terms of actions, not words, words are me texting you, hey, do you want to come on the show? The action is sending you a car.
Thank you very much.
Here. You know what I mean? That's when you
As somebody who's right? gone from you know what I mean? Downtown to the LAX area yeah. several thousand times.
Yeah, yeah.
Very impressive speed
and
execution to get me here.
Well, the 105 freeway is the speed freeway, by the way, from the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, just look around and see if there's a bus and if Sandra Bullock is driving.
The Imperial freeway.
Yes, indeed. For those scoring at home.
Yes, right.
Yeah, but that's the difference. Words are like, hey, you want to come on the show? Action is like, I've got you.
Bring them here.
I'm on my own the way back, by the way.
No, you're not.
I got a thumb ride.
There's somebody waiting out there. Somebody's waiting out there. I'm sure they got the water at the proper temperature, you know?
Brian, before you go, we have this thing here where, you know, we give out documents to people if they want to give up their fandom.
I like documents that are like this big, that are green. I'm sorry.
Nice. Yeah, no.
My question is, after hearing you talk about the Clippers, I'm a Clippers fan. I'm ready to just give up, man. I've been a Clipper fan since 1999, ever since I moved here. And every time we get close to something, mm-hmm. we just Clipper it up again. Should I just give up, man?
Yes.
Is it time just to sign?
They did make two trades that are forward-looking last week.
Yes, they did.
You know, that they trade. You know, it's not easy to get a multi-time All-Star in his 20s under contract, as they did with Darius Garland. His foot is bothering him right now. And they got two potentially very valuable picks that they now could go into the marketplace with for Zubac. I would not have traded Zubac, but they have their future plan. But I would be heartbroken. I'm sorry, TJ. I would be heartbroken if I was a Clipper fan and I saw Kawhi playing this way and knowing that my team is not going anywhere.
All for nothing, right?
I don't have that certificate here somewhere.
I don't know if we actually
made it. I got the Cowboy one.
We got the Cowboy one.
Yeah, I got the Dallas Cowboy one.
Yeah, Felly has it somewhere. Yeah.
It's somewhere.
All right, so I should give it up is what you're saying.
No, but... You can make plans for May and June.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst. here on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming here.
All right.
I appreciate
Enjoy your All-Star weekend.
I shall do so, sir. I will be here in Los Angeles dodging the raindrops. So, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Windhorst, again, you'll catch him on ESPN tonight in advance of Knicks, Sixers, Spurs, and Warriors.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for doing it.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy family on ESPN, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio. I love saying that. I don't know if you could tell. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. That's what we're doing right now to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors. They always have the winning game plan when it comes to your home because they're not just the window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts then install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere by visiting Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Fun stuff. We hope you're enjoying it, watching it. We're going to switch over to ESPN2 for those watching on ESPN for hour number three. Dwight Howard is making his way to our studio. I sent a car for him, too.
Oh.
I believe. I shouldn't just say that. Manny in El Paso, Texas. Hey. He's watching us because he certainly can't take a flight anywhere. What's up, Manny? What's going on, man?
Not the moment. ¿Cómo estamos, caballeros? ¿Cómo están todos?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Manny, what's up, brother?
Well, I still got bad bunny the brain talking to my buddies here. Anyway, love the game. Love the halftime show. My question is it the best halftime show? I know Mr. Del Tufo will probably say that's going to be U2. I'm going to see it's Prince.
Prince, but what I like about
is that
Prince U2.
Bad Bunny just said, hey, my name is Benny. This is a look into my culture. I hope you enjoy it. Hey, let's dance for a bit.
Yep.
Anyways, gentlemen, we are 4 days away from NASCAR being back at Daytona. But with that, of course, comes some heavy hearts. Greg Tiffle passed away and was truly loved as a driver. But it was after his racing career that people truly loved him. When the hurricane hit on the East Coast in 2024, he took his own helicopter to help find and rescue people. This is an example of how people should watch over each other. I'm really excited about the season. The cars have 50 more horsepower in them. Dale Jr. and Mark Martin have given the thumbs up on the new point system. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. So I leave you with this question, gentlemen. Which racing movie do you prefer?
Ooh.
Days of Thunder, Ford versus Ferrari, Disney's Cars, or Christopher Nolan's scary movie, Talladega Nights?
Okay, very
guys,
good.
I love you. Wow. I always consider it an honor to talk to you guys. TJ, right away, I got a hashtag for you.
What's
hashtag
that?
Hashtag DBDT. Don't be Del Tufo. Stick to your colors.
Yeah. Manny in El Paso.
That's it. I'm not in the
middle. Manny in El Paso, everybody. He's Rackham.
DBDT.
Go Dodgers.
Don't be Del Tufo.
O'Shea's on his way. I can't wait.
Stick to your team.
O'Shea's on his way.
Fantastic. The okay.
Okay. Life is a highway. Cars is very near the top.
For kids,
very near. No, Cars is a great
movie. Have you ever, if you haven't seen it, watch it.
I have seen the first.
Period.
The first one I have.
I love Ford versus Ferrari. I got to go F1. That movie
exactly.
was
He didn't
awesome.
Mention F1 either.
That
F1 was great.
Rock.
I agree.
Days of Thunder.
I enjoyed it, but Days of Thunder is just, I haven't seen it in forever.
It's been a while.
Dude, Tom Cruise and Robert Duvall.
I get it.
Come
it
on.
Great. It was that movie was amazing. F1 though.
Are they doing a sequel to that or a remake
they want
of some
to.
Sort?
What?
Of Days of Thunder.
Yeah. Oh.
With they Tom do. Cruise.
I think that was the next thing after he did a Top Gun reboot or sequel. What was the fourth one you mentioned? It was
Talladega
Nights. Yeah. Come on now.
Obviously.
Not first and last.
It's good. It's good.
I mean, I'm really surprised because Manny is a man who knows a lot. I can't believe he didn't say Herbie the Love Bug.
That's not a. I mean,
technically is.
You
raced.
Is it Talladega Nights is a comedy? It's not really a racing movie. It's about racers in a comedy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
In the same way that Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
I love Rich when he was there.
Yeah, I just went there.
I love when Rich does.
Dwight Howard is coming up to talk about NBA and his beatdown on the Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.